For morning lesson, I want to read from Psalms 71, 71st Psalm. We're probably going to spend most of our time here this morning. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise Thee and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power unto every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shalt quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul, which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought into shame that seek my hurt.
Brother is called for the reading of the first chapter of 2 Timothy, excuse me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be thou Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who both abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refused me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he hath ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. First chapter of the second epistle of Timothy.
We too greet each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Very grateful for the opening. And I think you'll see why in a little bit. Because we had a wrestling match. Give you a little background at the end of this week. Friday morning, we got up at 3 o'clock, started reading water meters, then went to work, delivered mail, started reading water meters on the way home again. Ran into some problems, got done about 9:30. But we wasn't done yet. We still had the bills to print, get ready to send out. So yesterday morning, we got up, worked on that. 3 grandchildren came over. The Christmas present was delivered. Had to put it together. And we finally got to the basement at noon with no topic. So we started thinking about all of that. How the day had went, what our duties were, and that's how we arrived at what we want to look at today. We're going to talk mostly to the older folks today, maybe specifically grandparents, but a lot of what we are going to cover applies to parents, it applies to aunts and uncles, it applies to anyone that has any influence over the young. And so we're going to talk about the aged. We're going to talk about the older ones. There's several in here. And we're going to start off with three little illustrations. They're kind of humorous, but we have a purpose in these illustrations. The story is told of a woman one time that turned 120 years old. And someone asked her what her vision of the future was. And her reply was very brief. That's all she said. And a reporter there was present, and he asked her what she liked best about being so old. And she said, well, there's no peer pressure. Another story is an elderly man was filling out an application for a retirement center. Very deliberately and meticulously was filling out this application, answering all the questions. And when he had filled in his address, he came to the word zip. And he said, normal for my age. A young child asked a woman how old she was, and she replied, 39 and holding. And the child thought for a minute, and he said, well, how old are you if you let go? You know, no matter how old we are in this life, or how much zip we have left, there's no letting go. If we're serving God, clear up till we draw our last breath. Clear up till the last thought we have that's our own. We serve a living God. There is no letting go. And as we grow older, we have more responsibilities. We have more to give also. We have the experiences of life. Our responsibilities grow with us. I want to look at Psalm 92. There's a little verse in there we want. Maybe a couple, two or three verses. Psalm 92. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And I think that last phrase, fat and flourishing, does not apply to the body necessarily, but it applies to the wisdom they have obtained serving God. Fat and flourishing. We have a lot to pass on. And so I want to say this, and we're going to say it more than once. Before passing on, pass it on. By leaving a legacy that counts, a legacy of the gospel. The legacy of the gospel. You know, men like to be remembered for something when they die. That's the natural man. They want something special wrote on their headstone or something to that effect so that everyone remembers them. For something. What do you want to be remembered for? When somebody hears your name, what do you want them to think of? The legacy of the gospel. In Pontiac, Illinois, there's a park, and it has three huge iron statues in it. And they're human figures that welded out of rusty metal. And below each one of those figures is a stone, and it has a saying engraved on it. And one figure depicts youth. And below that stone it says, as children, learn good manners. And the next one depicts a middle-aged. And it says, in middle age, be just. And then there's one that depicts the old age. And below it, it says, in old age, give good advice and die without regret. You know, a lot of times, as we get older, sometimes we think that's all we have is good advice and nobody listens. But you know, you're still worth something. As long as you have breath and as long as you have your right mind, you're still worth something. You're worth more than the whole world. Some statistics we found that kind of amazed us was in the U.S. there's 70 million grandparents. That's a 24% increase since 2001. 83% of the people in the U.S. 65 and older say they have grandchildren. And this one I couldn't hardly believe, but of all adults in the U.S. 30 years and older, one-third are grandparents. Another one we read was 37% of grandparents that are living with a grandchild are their primary caregiver. 37% of grandparents that are living with a grandchild are their primary caregiver. In 2018, there were 52 million Americans, 65 or older, that's 16% of the population. The people that do these calculations project that by the year 2060, if time goes on, there will be 95 million 65 and older, and that'll be 23% of the population. In 1900, the life expectancy was 46 years old. Today, it's 78, average life expectancy. 30 million grandparents in the U.S. today profess to be Christian. One man said it like this: grandparents are hands down the second most powerful influence in a child's life, and in many cases, the most significant influencer in their life. So one of the best ways to pass on the legacy of the gospel is to use your influence as grandparents, if you are a grandparent. And one of the best ways to do that is to be intentional about it. Intend to do it. Look for teaching moments in life. You know, the dictionary defines intentional as something done deliberately. So another way we could phrase that is intentional. If you do something intentional, it is an action done with awareness, done deliberately, consciously, and on purpose. Before passing on, make sure you pass it on by leaving a legacy of the gospel. Let's sing hymn number 517. 517th hymn. You know, there's not any hymns in our hymn book that mention grandparents that I could find anyway, but I was drawn to this hymn because of the last two lines. That I may in some small degree return thy love again. As we was thinking about the grandchildren yesterday, they're just some small degree right now. They're learning. They're growing. Teach me yet more of thy blessed ways, thou holy Lamb of God, and fix and root me in the grace so dearly bought with blood. Oh, tell me often of each wound, of every grief and pain, and let my heart with joy confess, from hence comes all my gain. For this, oh, may I freely count whate'er I have but loss, and every name and everything compared with thee but dross. Engrave this deeply on my heart with an eternal pen, that I may, in some small degree, return thy love again. You know, the society and culture around us in which we live promotes youthfulness. If you don't believe that, you just look at all the billboards. How many old people do you see on there? Look at the advertisements, magazines and such. How many old people are on there? It promotes youthfulness. And that's a tool of Satan. You know, I don't very often go back and look at my yearbook. Once in a while, my high school yearbook. Once in a while, I'll look at it to see if somebody was in my class. There was 100 and some in my class, but I sometimes forget who was there or maybe what their names were or something. One of the tools that Satan uses is you only live once. Live it up. And you know, I don't know how many times is written in that yearbook that phrase or something similar to it. But we live in a culture that promotes youth, and the Bible teaches us to honor the aged. Now, I looked that word up, aged, because I wondered how to say it. Is it aged or is it aged? And so here's a little English lesson. What I found was, aged is a noun referring to an old person. Aged is the past tense of aging. There's two ways to say it with two different meanings. And I don't know if we'll get it all right today. But if we go to Leviticus 19... Verse 32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Why do you suppose the Bible tells us time and time again to honor those older than us? I'm just looking right here at the first verse of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Those older than us, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, that would go for grandfathers, great-grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, on and on. I think the Bible just teaches us to honor those that are older. Psalm 71 that we read a lot of times is referred to as the Psalm of the Aged. Many think David wrote that song in his old age. Verse 9. says, they that dwell... Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And then we go down to verse 14, and it says, But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. And then verse 17 and 18, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. I want to notice in this 17th and 18th verse, David is speaking of the past. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, the present, and hitherto have I declared thy wonderful wondrous works. In the future, or now also, when I am old and gray-headed, the three stages of life, youth, middle age, and old. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So there's three main lessons right here in these two verses. Know God when you're young by learning of Him. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. How do you suppose David learned about God? Did God just come to him out when he's herding sheep one day and started telling him about Him, self? I think he learned about God when he was young, very young, from Obed and Jesse, his grandfather and his father. Much like the family units today, we teach our children about God. And when he knew about him, and he was herding sheep, he could see him in everything. And he had many, many lessons he learned out there. And he wrote about a lot of them. You know, grandparents and parents, the Bible teaches that parents have the primary responsibility of their children and teaching them. But grandparents have a lot of influence on young children, do they not? Think back in your life about your grandparents, what they taught you. They have a lot of influence. And then think about if you had a father and a mother that didn't really want to teach you about God. What would happen to the legacy of your family? You know, it only takes one generation. Only one generation. Unless there's a grandparent that takes up the slack. Or an aunt or an uncle. We all have a responsibility to the younger generation. But we have to be intentional about it. We have to purpose to do it. We have to take the everyday happenings of life and use them as teaching moments. And you can start when a child is very, very young. And we most certainly have to be and live a good example because they're going to watch every move we make. And sometimes we wonder, well, how much can a child, can you really teach a child when they're young? You know, when a child is born, they start learning. So they're capable of learning soon after birth. As soon as they can see, they're learning even more. So I want to look back here at verses 5 through 8 in this chapter. Verse 5, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge, and let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day." And you know, before David said that God had taught him from a youth, I think God taught him through his mother and father and his grandfather and grandmother. From the time he was born, and David recognized, "By thee have I been holding up from the womb." It was from God that taught him. You know, sometimes the older generation doesn't understand the things that the youth does, and they kind of look down on them. But I would caution you in that regard. You don't have to support bad decisions that youth make, but you need to be beside them and be a mentor. You need to show them a better way. You need to show them how to do better. And I want to turn to 1 Timothy, not the chapter we read, but 1 Timothy. And get a verse out of there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Paul's writing to Timothy here. "Let no man despise thy youth." You know, I think he's probably telling Timothy that don't be discouraged because people think you're too young. And children, sometimes adults don't listen very good because they think you're too young. But those of us that are older need to recognize the fact that sometimes, more than we like to admit, the children are a good example for us and to us. The second thing we can learn from these two verses, 17 and 18, is grow in God by living in Him now. We don't have tomorrow. Yesterday is past. All we have is now. Live in Him now. Look at the second part of verse 17. "And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." That's present tense, now. I've declared them. I am declaring them, and I will declare them. Thy wondrous works. David recognized that he needed to serve God continually. And there's three times in this chapter he uses that word. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Verse 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And verse 14, I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. It's an ongoing process. It's a daily process. It's present process. It's now. Continually. You know, Satan tempts us with the, when we're young, comes at us and he says, well, you have a family support, and you have house payments to make, and you have car payments to make, and you need to work hard. And then, someday when you're a little bit older, you can get serious about God and spend more time with your families. How many of you have ever been approached with that? You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would guess most everyone in here that's had children and family has been approached with that thought. We have. And we can look back in our life and have some regrets, and we don't want to dwell on it, but it's past, it's over, we can't change it now. But we have grandchildren. And to emphasize this point, I want to read the lyrics of a song. Now, this is not a gospel song, but it illustrates the point that I'm trying to make there, that Satan tells us that we have lots of time and we can wait to get serious later. The name of this song is called Cats in the Cradle. Many of you may have heard it. I don't, the chorus has a couple lines in there that I don't know why they're in there, and the title, I don't know why it's there, probably to make it more of an appealing song. But I like the words. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay, and he learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the chorus goes, and the cat's in the cradle, and the silver spoon, the little boy blue, and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head. And he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle. And the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. That's what can happen. We don't do it now. I don't know if any of you know who John Piper is, but he's an older minister. I don't know a lot about his theology, but he wrote this one time. He said, getting old to the glory of God means getting old in a way that God is glorified, or getting old in a way that makes God look glorious. Grandparents and all believers, I believe, parents, everyone that has named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, are guardians of God's glory. That doesn't mean we guard it and keep nobody from it. That means we guard it that it's not watered down. That means we pass it on to whoever we come in contact. The whole truth, all the truth. You know, King David had lots of challenges and troubles in life. Even his own son Absalom turned against him. But look in verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. All that he'd been through, all the troubles in life, he didn't remember one time that God had failed him. Not one time. God will never fail us. If we think he failed us, maybe we better look at ourselves. More than likely, we failed him. So think about this. You know, my grandparents were born in the early 1900s, and some of you here, your grandparents would have probably been born in the 1800s. But if someone was born around 1900 and lived to be 80 years old, what'd they go through? They lived through World War I. They lived through 10 years of the Great Depression. They lived through a severe drought, the Dust Bowl days. They lived through World War II. They lived through the Korean War. They lived through the Vietnam War and the Cold War. And you've all heard stories about that. Passed down, or you've read history. So what about us? You know, our children and grandchildren are going to hear how we lived through COVID-19, high unemployment, economic uncertainty, cultural upheaval, racial tension, and so forth. All of these things are teaching moments. Maybe your grandchildren are young enough they don't really know what all this means. But if they see you're worried, they know it. They'll ask, what's wrong? Do they see where we put our trust? In the living God, the creator of the whole universe, that he is in control of everything. Do they see that? Do you tell them? Are we passing it on, the legacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do our grandchildren and those we come in contact with see the true peace of God in our hearts? Do they see the love of God flowing through us to others? Do they see Jesus? What are we passing on? What are we passing on? show them God in your life by passing the legacy of the gospel, and do it intentionally. That's the third thing we can learn here. Look at verse 18. You know, David not only acknowledged God from his youth, and he proclaimed it, his wondrous works, all his life. Look at 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, would you say that he succeeded in that? You know, he asked God to preserve him until he had proclaimed thy strength, or showed thy strength unto this generation, and God's power to every generation that is to come. And we can read his words today, so we would say he was successful in that. He wrote as he was inspired by God, and we can read it today. God preserved him so that this could happen. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? And David recognized that it wasn't his doing, it was God's. Only God's. No one but God had done this in his life. His desire was that God would preserve him, not for his own selfish use or manner or whatever, but so that he could tell future generations, so that he could pass it on. You know, David had to trust in a God that hadn't saved him yet. Jesus hadn't came. But he passed it on. He passed on the heritage that he had received to all generations to come. We still read his writings today, and we are greatly inspired by him. So before you pass on, make sure you pass it on by leaving a legacy of the gospel of Jesus. We don't have the future, we only have now. David, proclaiming God's marvelous works even today to us of later generations. How are we doing in this? I want to go back to Psalm 9. And read the first two verses. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee, and I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Go to the 26th chapter. Verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. It's all through the Psalms. I will tell of thy wondrous works. Psalm 66. And there's probably lots more of them. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Old age did not provide an out for David. In fact, the older we get, we should feel a greater urgency to pass the legacy on to the next generation. I think David did. He just kept writing and kept writing and kept writing. If we turn to Isaiah 46, another verse we want in there. Verse 4. And even to your old age I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. Even I will carry, and I will deliver you. So it doesn't matter how old we get, God is behind us if we're serving Him. He will give us the strength to do what He wants in our life. Proverbs 16:31. Reads like this: the hoary head is a crown of glory. Does that mean when you get older you can glory in it? No, don't think so. It's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Just because you're old, just because we get old doesn't mean that we will be respected. It's in righteousness that the glory is found. And that righteousness is not of ourselves, it is of God. Go over in the 20th chapter, 29th verse, last one. No, it's not the last one. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The young man is strength. He gets things done. And the old man, it says, the beauty of the old man is his gray head. And I don't think that's really necessarily talking about your hair. I think it's talking about the wisdom that you have in your mind. And if the old man works with the young man, they can get a lot done. Because the old man has wisdom, and the old man has the experience. I read this about John Wesley. Most of you know who John Wesley was. But when I read this, I just wondered where my zeal was. John Wesley served the Savior in an old age. It's estimated that he rode 350,000 miles on horseback and he preached 44,000 different sermons. He complained when he was 83 years old because he could only study 15 hours a day. And when he was 86, he became concerned that he was becoming slothful because he was sleeping in till 5 a.m. And at 87, he learned his 11th language. And at age 88, he was worried because he could only preach twice a day, 6 days a week. Makes me feel pretty inadequate. But we live in a different time today. It's not an excuse. It's the way things are. So where's our zeal? So go back to 71 verse 18, and I want you to notice something in this verse. And I think we covered it, but David's only asking God to sustain him until he can pass this on. not sustain him to do anything else except pass on what God has given him. Pass on all the wondrous works that God has done in his life. And that should be the way we are. To the coming generations, not thinking of ourselves, but sacrificing ourselves. David didn't desire a life of ease when he got old. He wanted to pass it on. We already read another story about a British historian one time was asked how the church survived decades of persecution and communist propaganda in Russia. And his answer was, it's largely due to the grandparents. He said the communists made the mistake of thinking that because the church was mostly older people that it had no future. The younger generation had bought into the communist way of thinking at that time because it was new. But the older generation did not. Said they didn't realize the tremendous impact that grandparents have on the faith formation of their grandchildren, and because they passed on the legacy of the gospel, the church in Russia had a revival. You know, we look at the younger generation as the future church. But if the younger generation is not given what they need, what's the church going to be? And this theme's often found in the Bible. We need to pass it on. It's the way God set it up. I want to go to Deuteronomy 4. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. That's talking to fathers and grandfathers. Teach them, but you know, the first thing you have to do is take heed to yourself. You can't teach them if you don't live it. You can't teach them if you don't know it. So it's an admonition to all of us. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which we have seen and experienced. Go over to the 6th chapter, Deuteronomy. Second verse says, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So the first thing that's teaching there is a reverential fear of the Lord, or a respect of God, who he is and what he has done for us. And because of that, we pass on the legacy. We teach it to our sons and our sons' sons, grandfathers and fathers. Psalm 33. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. It's always there, but somebody has to show it and teach it. Go over to Psalms, to the 78th Psalm. We're going to read a few verses starting in the first. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And the next verse says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So who taught them to carry on when their generation of their fathers was stubborn and rebellious? It was the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles. And it preserved the people of God. Proverbs 17. Verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. That means the grandchildren are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Think about that a while. The glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men. You know, what you pass on to your children and your grandchildren will show when you get old. That's just the way I look at it. It'll show up. They might not always do what you want them to do. They have their own choice. But it's still there. I'm convinced of that. So now I want to go to 2 Timothy, first chapter. There's a couple points we want to get out of here. 1 is in verse 5, and I think you know what it is. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul was talking to Timothy here, and he knew his mother and grandmother. And he was sure they had passed on to him their faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfeigned faith that was in Timothy, which first dwelt in his grandmother and his mother. And he's persuaded that it's in Timothy also. They passed on that legacy. And over here in the 14th verse, he's exhorting him that that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He could have been talking to Timothy there about the work of the ministry that was committed unto him, and probably that's what it was. But he also could have been talking about that unfeigned faith. Keep it. Keep that unfeigned faith through the power of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So have you noticed that the culture around us undervalues older people, and it actually somewhat marginalizes grandparents and older people? We read that one man wrote that older people a lot of times receive two messages over and over and over again. The first one of those messages is stay out of the way. Young people want to get something done. Stay out of the way. You know, when grandparents think they're not worth much or they're an inconvenience, they're liable to just live a life of independence, be away from their children and grandchildren. We could see that happening in the world all around us. We trust it's not with us. The family unit is a big part of the Christian life. Always has been and always will be. Guard it. The second thing that older folks are bombarded with is travel and play. It's a tool of Satan. Indulgence. You've worked hard, you've done your time, so it's time to rest. Travel and play. The Bible calls us to be intentional so that we can pass on the legacy of the gospel. Be intentional. Know what's required of you and pass it on. So what's some practical applications of all this? We wrote down a few. There's many more. But pray for your grandchildren and let them know you're praying for them. What do you feel like when you know somebody's praying for you? Does it encourage you? I think it would them too. Resist the urge to spoil them. You know, I suppose all of you probably heard the saying that you spoil them and send them home. Well, instead of spoiling your grandchildren, work at toiling for their souls. Toiling instead of spoiling. If you want to spoil your grandkids, give them something that won't spoil or pass away. Give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a direct quotation we read from, I don't even know how to say it, Josh Mulvihill. Look at the time with your grandkids as discipling instead of babysitting. We have a responsibility and be intentional about it. Use the everyday, the fourth one here, use the everyday happenings and stories of life to reinforce the gospel message. And there's numerous examples. One would be when they make a mistake, show them and teach them what grace is. It doesn't mean you don't always punish them, but no, show them what grace is, what grace means. Because of the grace that God has bestowed on each one of us. Establish good memories. Take them places. Maybe even one-on-one, but don't leave one out. Make sure you do it with each one. Take them places together. Do things with them. Number six, reinforce the biblical Christian view of the world around us. Use the things you see to teach them what God thinks of the world around us. We live in it, but we're not part of it. Teach them that. You know, there's a minister one time, he was addressing a group of college students that were professing Christians, some 40,000 of them. And he told them about some 80-year-old missionaries that had been martyred. And he said, he asked them this question, was that a tragedy? And he said, I'll tell you what a tragedy is. And he pulled out a page from the Reader's Digest and he read this. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their job 5 years ago. He was 59, she was 61. They now live in Florida where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler. They play softball and collect shells. He said, that's a tragedy. When you stand before the Creator to give an account, are you going to say, here it is, Lord, here's my shell collection? And he went on to say, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. No matter how old you are, no matter how much zip we have left, it's not time to let go. You know, we only have now. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. You only have now. Before passing on, make sure you pass it on by leaving the legacy of the gospel to those that follow. Do it intentionally. Intend to do it. Do it on purpose. Do it because you want to. Read another quote, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God add His blessings.